91.5 FM, WMFO Medford. I left out that important part.
I was saying, don't mess with that, D.
FCC hates it when we don't say Medford. WMFO
Medford.
They
hate it when we say a lot of other things, too.
91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Shay Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO is also the telephone number. Write it down. Call in. We love to hear from our listeners. Coming up later tonight, we're going to be taking a look at the indictments handed down by Robert Mueller, Paul Manafort, Robert Gates doing some shady stuff, George Papadopoulos lying to the FBI. Not good looks.
I believe something myself and a lot of my other fellow Americans are very happy about happening.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, for months it's been like, find a reason to impeach him. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, we might be onto something.
No, you're not anywhere near onto something. We'll get into that later. Your celebration is premature.
Oh, I'm aware. But, you know.
Plus, we'll get you caught up on everything that's happened this week, our favorite things from the past week, the strangest stories from the past week. I mean, it all just goes on and on and on. It's Happy All Saints Day. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's the dead are...
Dia de los Muertos was yesterday.
No, it's today.
Today.
Yeah.
But there's
yesterday was Samhain.
I would say Dia de los something else was yesterday. I don't pretend I'm Irish. I think it would be pretentious for me to pretend I understand cultures that aren't my own.
Dia de los Samhain was yesterday. Samhain. A lot of Batman showing up at my house last night.
That's what my mom was very disappointed. This is my mom's first year living in a condo complex, and she bought all this candy and no children came around.
Oh, that's rough.
I honestly wanted to. Well, it's ironic too because she's a school nurse, so she's dealing with children every single day, but usually in a my foot hurts kind of capacity.
Yeah.
I think she was really excited to see all, you know, the little cherubs.
Yeah.
Pretending to be nice for 2 minutes.
A lot of Batmans. It was a big year for the Batmans.
Yeah. Well, that's what ironically, my costume, which I did, I had to work at my day job, unfortunately, last night. But
Batman?
No, but the adult version of Batman.
Sexy Batman?
Hugh Hefner, which I found was a very common costume this year, but not for women, which made me feel special.
Hmm, interesting.
That's what I went.
Well, he did pass away this year, so that's timely.
No, which is precisely why I had like four different ideas. And then when he passed, and I, for those of you who have been listening for a while or follow my comedy, I love Hugh Hefner. Or loved, I guess. Can you say love when they've passed away? I'm not even actually sure. But the minute he passed away, I texted like my three best friends and said, I know what I'm doing this year. But it was funny because when I went to buy the sailor hat, at iParty or whatever, their Party City, whatever it's called now. They said, oh, does your boyfriend need another piece of his costume? And I said, no, this girl does. And which was satisfying.
Nice. So we do this thing at my office. We've been doing it for the last couple of years where employees who have really young children, like just right around trick-or-treat age, but you might not want to take them out on the streets yet, we trick-or-treat in the office. So yesterday, they filled up all of these. They must have cleaned out all of the candy in the supermarket. So they handed out these bowls full of candy to everybody to give out to the kids when they went door to door. And most of the rooms in my office have like 5 or 6 people in them. So that bowl of candy portions out nicely to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I have a large bowl of candy sitting on my desk right now that got a little bit smaller today and is going to get a little bit smaller every day as my waist gets a little bit bigger every day because I have all this candy now and I'm like, well, I can't let it go to waste.
Well, that's always the problem, too, is that it's funny. Actually, today, November 1st, is what, as a child, I referred to as Fat Kid Christmas.
Yeah.
Because all of the Halloween candy is 50. Oh, I just sounded British there for a moment. All of the Halloween candy is 50% off. And it ends up, it goes very quickly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But that is, it's the same as the, like, there are starving children and fill in the blank where you look at and you're like, I shouldn't eat this candy, but it's there and it's just going to go to waste. So what do I do?
Somehow I grabbed the bowl that was full of Whoppers. I don't know how I feel about Whoppers.
Oh, I hate Whoppers. Those are the like weird mothball ones, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the few candies. I'm not even a big sweet tooth.
I'm good with a mothball. They're okay. But Whoppers are not one of your better mothballs.
No me gusta. It has to involve some kind of nut or peanut butter for me to be on board.
I've already gone through all the peanut M&Ms.
Almond Joys all day.
I had a Snickers.
I haven't had a single Almond Joy this Halloween season. It's kind of disappointing.
Oh.
And those Snickers, what do you call them? The Snickers with like the Rice Krispie whatever's inside.
I don't know what that is.
Me neither. I had no idea, but they're in blue wrappers. And one of my coworkers brought them in. I was like, oh my God, Almond Joys. And then I looked and total tease.
I found something called a hot cocoa Oreo at the supermarket today. We may need
sex.
We may need to investigate that next week.
Oh yes, we may.
In the meantime,
here's actual news.
There's stuff going on right
now.
Yeah,
there's stuff going on that has nothing to do with candy, evidently.
Yeah.
In local news, 5 teenagers reportedly have warrants out for their arrest after a fight last month outside a Massachusetts nightclub that sent 2 people to the hospital. Steven Guerrero, Jefferson Cabrera, Yolfi Feliz, Dominga Paredes, and Yennefer Lara, all but the final are 18, the last is 19. They all have warrants for assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. It's not clear if the suspects are in custody, but police responded to the Dubine nightclub shortly before 1 a.m. on October 15th. And according to police, gunshots were fired outside the club, but no one was hit. The owner of the nightclub, Pituca Trempe, is also facing a charge of providing alcohol to minors.
Huh.
This is not the first time police have responded to gunfire at this nightclub this year. More than 40 shots were fired outside the club in June.
Why is this place still open? Is this place still open?
That was the reason for my bringing this story up in general. Apparently, the warrants have obviously been active, but today was the day that they felt comfortable announcing all of the names. And how is this place still open? I mean, even when the whole Aaron Hernandez thing happened,
yeah,
that was at a prominent downtown club where
right.
a comedy club I may or may not work for takes place. But even then, it closed down for a week.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with how the comedy club is run. Trust me, they ID very well.
And that place tends to have its fair share of shootings and stabbings taking place outside.
Oh, yeah. But that's what I'm saying is that how is, when they said, oh, he's just now coming under fire for providing alcohol to minors.
I would think you'd be coming under fire for the 40 gunshots fired outside your establishment.
I would say, like, that's what you're saying against this man?
This is a business that you need to move to shut down immediately.
quite frankly, and especially as somebody who grew up in Boston and has snuck into my fair share of nightclubs before being 21.
Yeah, you didn't grow up in the 80s when you couldn't get away with that.
Oh, yeah, poor you growing up in the 80s.
Hey, it sucked.
Do you know how good the Coke was back then? Anyway.
Do you know how expensive the Coke was back then?
Fair point. I always forget that you're a man. But, well, it was just interesting to say, oh, now the owner of the nightclub is coming under fire, even though, what now, June's 5 months ago?
Yeah.
And just now it's like, oh, he's coming under fire. Oh, by the way, 40 gunshots were heard just outside this nightclub in June.
So somebody sprayed the place with bullets in June, and now you're serving alcohol to minors. This is not anybody who should be running a nightclub.
This is not a nightclub that should exist in general.
Well, it maybe it's a good nightclub if you have responsible people running it and not whoever these clowns are.
That's fair. But it is strange too. It is strange too just to think that typically when something like this happens, it's a bunch of people in their mid to late 20s. Aaron Hernandez being an excellent example. He was, when he was indicted, how old was he? You'd know this better than I would.
I think he was, when he was indicted,
when it happened.
I think he was 27.
That's what I'm saying. It's like mid to late 20s. These are 18 and 19 year olds. And I love too that it was all 18 year olds and the one female involved was 19. But not that equal opportunity, you can be a criminal. But the fact that, it just from my research into this place, it seems as though this is a place that breeds terrible people.
Yeah.
This is just, it should have been shut down a long time ago. And I hope, not that I ever wish any sort of abandonment that's not the word I'm looking for, but any sort of shutdown on anyone's business. I think this time it's kind of warranted.
Yeah, there's always that one club that all of the bad actors know they can go and get into.
Precisely. That's the point I'm trying to make.
That's the place that you don't want to have in your neighborhood. I had one of those operating across the street from my old apartment, and I played a role in getting it shut down because it was out of control. You know, and there got to a point where there was nearly a shooting out there one night, and I said, that's enough of this.
And that's the same when I lived in the Bronx. I went to school in the Bronx, so there were multiple nightclubs around because they were like, oh, college kids, obviously we should have nightclubs around here. And don't get me wrong, they were all a bit shady, but there was one that was specifically like, all of the people that know they can get away with stuff here are going to come here.
Yeah.
And then there was a rape, there was a shooting, there was all of these things where it just became, you've set a brand for yourself that this is what is allowed to occur here.
Yeah.
You can either completely overhaul everything or just shut down completely.
Yeah, sell the business, let somebody come in who can sort it out, but don't keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, Club Dubai, I think you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in national news, which has been kind of haunting me the last 2 days, or the last day, according to authorities, the 29-year-old man detained after a flatbed truck zoomed down a popular Lower Manhattan bike path, killing at least 8 people and injuring nearly a dozen, left a note in the vehicle claiming he committed the attack for ISIS. Authorities said the man, who has been identified as Saifulu Habilovic Saipov, say that 3 times fast, who was an Uber and commercial truck driver living in Paterson, New Jersey, is thought to be a lone actor in the attack in the Hudson River Greenway yesterday afternoon. He had been suspected of colluding with one other gentleman, but that gentleman has since been cleared. U.S. counterintelligence officials added that no group has taken responsibility for the attack despite the note. Sources say he rented the truck from a Home Depot in Passaic, drove over the Washington Bridge, and sped down the Greenway for more than a dozen blocks before deliberately ramming into a school bus for children near Stuyvesant High School in PS 89. According to police, two staff members and two children on the bus were injured. The Uzbek national, who is a permanent U.S. resident, then shouted, "Allahu Akbar," got out of the rented truck and was seen running through traffic on West Street with a pellet gun and a paintball gun before being shot in the abdomen by a police officer on patrol and taken into custody. He's being treated at Bellevue Hospital and, as of this afternoon, has been formally charged with providing support for ISIS as well as causing violence and destruction with a motor vehicle.
Breaking development on this story late this afternoon. according to Mr. Saipov, hitting the bus was not intentional.
Well, that makes us all feel better.
He wanted to drive across the Brooklyn Bridge and keep hitting people. So,
Well, do you know what I love about this? That's a weird way to put it. But what I find so fascinating about this, and what it's funny, as as Derek knows, I always, whenever a story like this occurs, I try to keep up with the moment-to-moment news cycle that we have, is that as the news broke, as everything became more apparent, come to find out that he killed 8 people, and 6 of them were not U.S. citizens.
Right.
And I've always said, I don't understand what these people, and when I say these people, ISIS related, or even if they're not related, because I'm sorry, if you were a member of ISIS, you would have had an actual gun.
Are we allowed to say
it? It wouldn't have been a pellet gun and a paintball gun, which is ridiculous. Like, come on, I'm from Quincy, and I could have gotten something better than that. The fact that I always say that I don't really understand what they're trying to accomplish by doing any of this, but this, like, my point is proven by the sheer fact that he did this whole, that it took him 2 months to plan this out.
Apparently he did a dry run 9 months ago. Like, went to that Home Depot, rented the truck, drove it into Manhattan, figured out the turns he was going to have to make, and then went back.
And then, tried to figure out how to make the turns properly, which, by the way, he was supposed to have a commercial truck license.
Yeah.
I don't have one of those. I drive a Corolla, and I would know how to make those turns.
No, that truck.
Not saying I'm going to.
That truck you can rent. Anybody can rent that truck. They're very small.
No, but he apparently has, like, a license. If you look into his background.
Oh, he's got a CDL?
That was part of, he was an Uber driver as well as, my research. He was an Uber driver and he was a commercial truck driver.
Right. So he's getting his side hustle on.
Yeah.
With the Uber folks.
But I've always said, I don't really get what these people who are doing these random attacks are trying to accomplish except for to try to create chaos.
Kill and maim the Kufar.
And to try to stick it to whoever. But in the case of the United States, I feel often the goal is to stick it to the man, stick it to the U.S., screw these people and their flag and blah, 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 blah. In this case, I think my point is proven more than it ever has been, in that he planned this so elaborately and most of the people that he killed weren't even American citizens.
But here's...
Not saying that their lives are any less valuable, but saying that The whole point of this, at least if you're saying that you're acting on behalf of ISIS, was screw America. And all you did was screw people who know America is a great place and wanted to come visit as a result.
But here's what he did. And this is a victory for ISIS. And this is a victory for Mr. Saipov. Number one, do I need to tell you that this guy was investigated by the FBI?
Probably not.
So... He was investigated by the FBI in 2015. When they get his cell phone, he's got thousands of ISIS videos on there. Thousands of them.
Of course he does.
So he illustrates ongoing failures in our national security. He illustrates our ongoing inability to stop people like him. Hmm. He also stirs things up in Washington. Because now we have Donald Trump complaining about these diversity visas. This guy won a lottery about 10 years ago. 7 years ago. This guy won a lottery. We run an international lottery. It's called the Diversity Visa Program, where 50,000 people get instant U.S. citizenship. Just because they apply. Because apparently some countries aren't sending enough people to the United States. Like, we need some Uzbeks to go along with all of the Chinese and the Indians and the Mexicans that are coming here.
And which is why it's a diversity lottery. I know some really nice Uzbeks. That's, I think, something that's important to be noted.
This is nothing against the Uzbeks, but the diversity lottery program, you don't need any skills. You don't have to be able to contribute.
I don't want to live in Uzbekistan anymore. Can I come to the United States?
And who wants to live in Uzbekistan? Nobody. Yeah. Nobody with half a brain wants to live in Uzbekistan.
Like I said, I know some Uzbeks, and it does not sound fun, which is why I know them, because they're here.
And this guy apparently was not radicalized when he got here. He was radicalized later on. So we have another friend of ISIS committing an attack, and we have the American people asking the government, what the heck are you doing? We have everybody asking the FBI what the heck is going on over there. So in the sense that he has sown more discord and more tension for everybody in Washington and for the American people, as far as our view of the government's ability to stop this, mission accomplished. This is a win for ISIS. And everybody can put up their hands and say, we're not going to let the terrorists win. We're going to go about our daily lives. That's not the point. The point is ISIS won again.
That's fair. But that's my point as well though, is as much as it's ISIS won again, it's still also just they've won insofar as that they've proven that some of us are dummies. Like they've proven that
yeah, the people in Washington and the people in the FBI. And who are the people who are not supposed to be dummies.
Which, again, is that, I mean, the whole time that I lived in Europe, everyone hated on me for being an American. And I lived in Europe in 2009, which is, you know, at the height of the Iraq War. A lot of things were happening as a result of our country. And people would give me so much word I can't say on the radio for it.
Grief? You can say grief.
Grief. Thank you. I like to swear so much that I sometimes forget the euphemism. But I'd say to them, you realize that we're not making these decisions by and large. I mean, yes, we do have the right to vote. Yes, we do vote certain people into office. But ultimately, this is not on us as a whole. There are millions of people in our country. And yes, it's on us insofar as that we're Americans and the U.S. is doing this. But, like, my friend, I remember going to lunch with my friend once and having her say, she thought, I found a restaurant that you'd really like. I think I've told this story before. But I'm thinking, this is when I lived in Italy, and I'm thinking she found this super authentic Italian restaurant. And the place she took me was called New York Bagel and Pizza. And I walked in and was like, first of all, there's no way this is authentically New York Bagel and Pizza. Second of all, I moved thousands of miles away. Why would you ever think I would want to have imitation of the food I can get back yeah. home? But I humored her and we sat down and she asked me about being an American in Europe. And I said, you know, it is very difficult. I won't lie. Like, a lot of people really hate me. And she said, why is that? Because your country is responsible for most of the wars we have here.
Which is a true statement.
And all over the world.
Which is a true statement. Yeah.
But I said to her, I said, well, yeah, but you know, I didn't do it, right?
There is a different, I'm just going to touch on this briefly because I want to get back to this terrorism thing.
Oh, please get back to the terrorism thing.
One of the things you need to understand about Europe is that there is a very different relationship between the people and politicians in Europe than there is in the United States. You are probably on a first name basis with your representative in Parliament. You are certainly on a first name basis with your representatives in the local council. And because Europeans are so, because you elect leaders locally, and then those local leaders go in and elect the prime minister, they assume that the United States is the same thing. They assume that, like, oh, we've all sat down and met with Donald Trump or met with whomever and been like, oh, yes, you are a fine and qualified leader. When the exact opposite is true. couple thousand people show up at a rally. It goes on TV. We sit around and watch it. We hate everybody. We get drunk on election day. We go in, we pull some levers, and we go home and drink some more. That's what happens. And most of us would have a difficult time identifying our elected representatives in a police lineup, let alone be on a first name basis with them.
That is true. And
we've got Elizabeth Warren in this state, and she calls a lot of attention to herself. So we could recognize her. If I showed you a picture,
we recognize her. You're right. We recognize her because she calls a lot of attention to herself, not because we call a lot of attention to her.
If I stood on a street corner with a picture of Ed Markey or a picture of Seth Moulton, I am willing to bet that about 1 in 10 people, maybe 2 in 10, could tell me who they are. That would be an interesting experiment to carry out. But that's why we get blamed for what our leaders do.
I kind of want to do that.
Yeah, that's why you go to Europe, we get blamed for what our leaders do. Because people in Europe look at it and they're like, well,
we're super invested in our leaders.
Your representative, your representative lives around the corner from you, right? It's like, no, my senator lives in Washington. He's been living there for the last 30 years. He's good at his job, so we keep sending him back there.
I chose to vote for him because his name was cooler than the other people's.
Yeah.
Like, goodness.
But to get back to this, to get back to what happened in New York yesterday, here's a question. Here's a practical question that I want to ask. How many ISIS videos does a person have to watch before the FBI knocks on the door and says, we'd like to have a word with you about your browsing habits? Okay, I know that the answer for child pornography videos is one, because I keep hearing about all these people that get busted because they clicked on a link and downloaded some child porn, and the FBI is all over.
And I'm in no way, I hate how many times I have to do like prefaces on this show or in general. I'm in no way condoning child pornography, but how is it that something that doesn't directly hurt you is more important than something that potentially could?
Because we've made a moral judgment. That's really what it comes down
but
to, a moral judgment.
I was at my day job yesterday when there was a blast on the radio, which, by the way, thanks news sources for giving us minimal information about something terrifying, because the first blast over the radio after it happened yesterday was, truck kills 6 people on the west side of New York.
It was still a mass casualty event in Lower Manhattan when I first heard the reports.
Oh, they didn't even say Lower Manhattan. I don't know if our listeners are aware that my sister works on the west side near Times Square. My brother lives on the west side in the upper west side. But they didn't say Lower West Side. They just said mass casualties as a result of a truck ramming on the west side. To which my skin turned pale, and I immediately whipped out my cell phone and had 2 of my coworkers look at me and say, do you need to go home? Because I was so terrified that this was going to be the call.
Yeah.
This was going to be it. And of course, they both wrote back saying, no, it happened in downtown, like near the World Trade Center. We're fine. But the radio decided to scare me instead.
Yeah.
But
they don't mean to scare you. They just don't have any information, and they want to get your attention.
Cute. See, we on this show like to have as much information as possible before we terrify you with things.
True.
But when I found out that the subway guy had child pornography, even when it was the first breaking story about it, wasn't as terrified for my family's well-being. And the FBI's monitoring of things like this should address that general sentiment.
It's pretty bad for the kids, though. And
it
and
does get pretty bad for the kids, but I'm saying that's not going to... It is terrible. Again, I cannot stress enough that I'm not trying to say, oh, well, child pornography is not as bad as terrorism or blah, 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 or it is, whatever. But it's a matter of that if something can make me feel that a member of my family may be dead, it should have as high a priority as putting a pervert in jail.
But let's go back to this question. Why is it that if you download child pornography, you're going to have the FBI on your case almost immediately, but you can watch all the ISIS videos you want? And then you can go out and kill people, and the politicians are going to call you a lone wolf terrorist. There is no lone wolf here, folks. This individual was recruited and motivated and programmed by a large organized group of people. He may not have had direct funding from ISIS. He may not have been on the phone with somebody from ISIS. Someone from ISIS may not have emailed him and said, go drive the truck down that street over there. But he was told what to do by ISIS. There is no lone wolf here. Throw that out. Stephen Paddock is a lone wolf. This guy is an ISIS... Friends of ISIS, as I like to call them. This is a friend of ISIS.
Friends of ISIS.
All right. So how many videos do you have to watch before the FBI is going to say, maybe we ought to go talk to that guy. Maybe we ought to knock on his door. And I'll tell you something. I watch ISIS videos because I have this show and I have to. And if the FBI were to knock on my door and say, Mr. Gary, we notice you've been watching.
Need to talk.
We notice you've been watching ISIS videos. What's going on with that? I'm fine with that. Come on in, ask me. Look up my browsing history, and I will tell you, I am a broadcaster. I need to know about this so that I can talk to my listeners about this
please
and talk intelligently about it.
Please excuse all the 18-plus porn.
And yes, please excuse all the pornography and the illegal game downloads. Please don't look at that. But I have no problem with that, and I don't think any law-abiding American would.
Well, the funny thing, that's a very interesting point that you bring up, and the funny thing about that is, really, that I think that that is part of the issue, is that... First of all, it's a matter of laziness in what I'm about to say, but because there is we live in a society of curiosity, especially because of the fact that you can get anything on the internet, absolutely anything. I definitely watched some Halloween movies illegally while I was rolling napkins yesterday. Like, you can get absolutely anything on the internet, and human curiosity is so real that. Like you said, you're a broadcaster, I'm a broadcaster. We're both involved in the comedy, the news industry. So, of course, I've watched ISIS videos too. But there's also your average American that just the curiosity itch gets in.
You got to go way out of your way to find a lot of this stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
But there are some people who have absolutely no terrorist intentions. I'm not defending this, by the way. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate to explain. But your average American who has absolutely no ill will, who's never going to actually act on or even believe any of these things they're watching just out of morbid curiosity. I mean, I went through 9 different channels to try to find a non-blocked picture of Nicole Brown Simpson's neck after the thing that guy who totally did it was acquitted of. But that's kind of the issue that we have here, is that no one's going to look at child pornography out of curiosity.
True.
People will look at that. The first video of them cutting off somebody's head.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That was so widely viewed by everyone, by 14-year-olds.
And that video didn't show anything other than the severed head at the end.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the Daniel Pearl video where they had it on video of his head being sawn off with a knife.
Which is both terrifying and fascinating.
Yeah, I'm sorry I ever saw that one.
I was going to say, that's one that kept me up a few nights, but we've both seen it.
But
I think you're correct, though, in that I think that's how the FBI is legitimizing it, is that, there's all these people with morbid curiosity who are into this sort of thing, and it's completely innocent.
That's fine.
So why would we look into everyone? But once you watch a certain, there has to be, you're correct, there has to be some sort of cap.
By the
time... Some sort of, you've watched 8 of these now, and you're... you've expressed a certain other... you have to...
I think by the time you get to ISIS video number 500... somebody ought to be knocking on your door.
Yeah.
And how about we take...
And I agree. If someone knocked on my door, I'd say, come look at my browser history. Come take my computer away. Have a warrant. Come and get it.
How about we take all of these people involved in mass surveillance that doesn't appear to be doing anything and assign them to follow people like Mr. Saipov around after they've watched their 500th ISIS video? Yeah. Because then maybe you could stop this guy. Now...
We'd create jobs.
Here's another thing. No, we already have those jobs. They're just misdirected. Now, here's another thing. There is a way to completely prevent this type of attack from taking place. And it could happen tomorrow.
Shut down the internet?
No. It could happen tomorrow, but it is going to take will from Congress. Nobody has mentioned this or suggested this. There are smart people who listen to this program. I know this. There are influential people who listen to this program. I know this. This is an idea that I want to hear coming out of Washington in the next 48 hours. All new cars, not all new cars, but a lot of new cars in the United States have what is known as the collision avoidance system. If there is a vehicle or a person or a small animal in front of your vehicle,
it automatically stops.
That vehicle comes to a stop.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we not have this installed on every single rental truck in the United States of America?
That's an incredibly fair point.
Why do we not have this installed on every rental truck in the United States? Because business is going to sit there and they're going to say, we can't afford to do that. Too bad. We can't afford to have terrorists driving trucks over people in our cities.
Yeah. And especially, I'm not saying that any human life is more valuable than another, but the sheer fact that 5 of the 8 people who were killed were not from this country, and they were there for a reunion.
Argentinian businessmen.
And came to New York for the sheer fact that it's a wonderful city.
Yeah.
That's the reason they came. That's the greatest irony of all of us, is they came here, they came to New York City, which, Boston, I love you very much, but I really, really love New York City. And that's, this has been, I won't lie, this has been a difficult 24 hours for me, especially not withholding the fact that both my siblings live there, but the fact that they came here for such a reverent response to New York City, and to have something like that happen is just disgusting. It's terrifying and terrible. It's completely, ironically, it's really the antithesis of what this person was trying to put forth, because they were trying to say, like, screw America, screw New York, which has become kind of the symbol for how, quote unquote, terrible America is, when the people that they ended up slaughtering were people who came for the exact opposite reason.
But as I said, the fallout of this is still a win for ISIS, because the FBI looks bad, the government's arguing with itself instead of doing anything. Here's what the government should do. This is what I want Congress to do. Go in tomorrow, tell the rental truck industry, whether it's Home Depot or Budget or Ryder or, you know, Joe's semi-tractor truck rental company, you have 24 months to install collision avoidance systems on all your fleet, or you can't rent it anymore.
I think that's brilliant.
People getting run down by trucks is like polio. There is absolutely zero need for this to happen in the 21st century with the technology we have available to us.
Well, and especially the sheer fact that this was so clearly inspired by what happened in London.
Yeah.
That there should have been so many fail-safes put forth.
This is a no-brainer.
As a result of that.
These systems exist. You can install them on older cars. Pass a law. Make it happen. Hold this industry accountable.
Expensive. How much does a human life cost to you? How much is a human life worth?
The cost in terrorism is far greater. And here's the other issue that you've got. Don't think that random nut job walking down the street, American citizen with an axe to grind against his wife or his employer or his classmates or whoever, isn't looking at all of these truck attacks and saying, I could do that. Stephen Paddock.
Definitely true.
Stephen Paddock could have just as easily rented a box truck and driven up and down the strip in Vegas and killed people. Instead, he chose to fire from a hotel room because he thought he was going to get away with that. But if you get some suicidal nut job,
insane.
We're going to see a lot more of this. Or we're going to make it impossible to hit somebody with a rental truck, which we can do.
Every time we've spoken about this before, when I told you that I was maybe 12 when Columbine happened.
Yeah.
And I remember watching, my teacher had us watch the footage of what was going on during class. And I remember looking and being like, this is crazy. And I can't imagine anything like this ever happening again. at 12. And then come to find out, it was actually just inspiration for more people to pull the same crap. Do the same thing to... And the only way you're ever going to stop that is by putting in regulations to stop people from doing it. To not even stop, but just at least control. Like, do you know how much of a hit Home Depot is going to take as a result of this? Like, and you're right, Derek. Honestly, I can't see them with good conscience renting another van or truck without taking some sort of measure like what you're alluding to.
Home Depot can score a lot of points getting out in front of this and saying, hey, we're going to install this on all our vehicles so
exactly.
people can't
if
do
anything,
it.
It'll be a PR win for them if they actually do something about this, because the sheer fact, it was already ridiculous that any human being can go and rent a large truck.
Yeah, it's not that big. It's a pickup truck.
Nonetheless, though, I mean, have you seen my mother? Mom, I know you're probably listening. No offense, but you are terrible at driving large vehicles.
I've driven pickup trucks.
Mom, you're a terrible driver. But the fact that anyone can go and get one is already, you know, no bad. It's the same.
That's right. Not a problem. In Congress, while you're at it, let's ban bump stocks. In world news, Com has returned to Catalonia as former leader Carlos Puigdemont agreed to accept a December 21st snap election called by Spanish leaders in Madrid. Puigdemont appeared in Brussels days after fleeing Spain in the wake of potential charges for rebellion and sedition. Puigdemont said he would return to stand for election if given guarantees of his freedom by Spanish officials, but the road ahead could be difficult. El Mundo reported a recent poll that showed only 33.5% of Catalans still in favor of independence, while an El País poll showed just 29% wanting to break free. Those numbers are down from the 41% reported in July, ahead of an unofficial reform vote on October 1st, where less than half the population turned out to vote, but 91% supported secession. So, calmer heads prevailing in Catalan. At least there's something good coming out of a potential flashpoint, unlike what we're used to everywhere else in the world.
Which is being super annoyed all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, here's to hoping that they can find a way to work this out. I think there's a very strong desire among a lot of Catalonians to get the heck out of Spain.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's sort of like Newton saying we don't want to be part of Massachusetts anymore. Like, we have all the money and we're doing okay, and you're just kind of dragging us down. And Spain's like, no, wait a minute. We're not going to let you go. You have all the money.
We want your butts.
Yeah, we want your money.
Well, and I think that the drop in the polls is not related to not being in support of it. It's more related to fear. It's related to the push of, like, you're part of our country. Don't leave.
Yeah, but
you
shouldn't leave. But it's never that. It's economic. And the people in Catalonia and the people in Madrid know this. Hmm. It's the richest province in the country.
Like, by a long shot.
Yeah.
Most of their economy is as a result of this small corner of Spain.
So Spain's sitting there and they're like, if those people leave, we're done.
Well,
Greece.
That's what I'm saying is, like, the pressure, the reason the poll numbers have, I don't think that the poll numbers reflect people from Catalonia who actually do not want to secede. It's more feeling the pressure from this giant slab of land to their northwest being like, don't do it or you'll be upset afterwards.
Well, I don't know if it's that so much as the referendum was as much a finger in the eye to Madrid to basically say, get your act together. And this could have gone a different way, because Spain could have rolled in and declared martial law and started rounding people up. They haven't done that.
Which is refreshing.
The fact that Puigdemont...
because so many places have in these types of situations.
The fact that Puigdemont is still walking around and holding press conferences tells you how serious they are about going and getting him. Although they have threatened to charge him with rebellion and sedition. It seems to be being handled in an adult, political, gentlemanly manner at this point.
Which, like, as I reiterate, is very refreshing in such a situation. Typically, it's, well, how big are your bombs? Because here's how big our bombs are.
And it's not... I'm sure there are people within Catalonia who would be more than willing to take up arms and fend off Spanish occupiers.
Oh, absolutely.
And nobody wants to see...
Which apparently currently vehicles are nice weapons.
Yeah.
So people in Catalonia, they have lots of Lexuses. I hear that they're very resilient.
Nobody wants to see that happen. So cooler heads are prevailing for the moment. Let's hope this holds out and we get a path toward general agreement in December. Mm. At least between now and December, things are probably going to be pretty calm there. And the thing about having that election in December is everybody's going to go celebrate Christmas the day after the election. So that buys you another couple of weeks of calm.
So hopefully everyone will be all chill and happy and holiday-ish.
Yeah. In sports news, you'll like this, Shay.
Baseball
are stirring up controversy at the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Pitchers from both the Dodgers and the Astros say that the balls are too slick because of the leather used to make them. As a result, pitchers are struggling to control their release, and pitchers who rely on sliders can't get the balls to stay in the strike zone. Major League Baseball has denied that there is a problem, noting that the baseballs were made by the same Costa Rican factory that supplies balls for the regular season. But most players have noted that the leather is much slicker, with Astros pitcher Lance McCullen able to tell the difference between regular season and World Series balls while wearing a blindfold. So they blindfold Lance McCullen, they give him the ball, and they're like, which is which? And he's like, World Series ball, regular ball, World Series ball, regular ball.
See, that's pretty damning, but ultimately the story what the story says to me is something similar to a girl placing runner-up in Miss America and saying, it's because my high heels were too high.
It, statistically, though, because they did a whole breakdown on stats, and the slider pitchers aren't getting anybody to swing. Because the whole point of the slider is you get the pitcher to bite on it.
You don't have to explain slides.
Or you get the batter. No, but for the listeners, you get the batter to bite on it, and the thing sinks out of the strike zone. These sliders have been so far outside of the strike zone that no one is swinging at them.
Because they're at ball territory.
Right. And the pitchers are losing confidence in them, so they're throwing more fastballs. And the hitters are just like, oh, fastball, dinger, dinger, dinger.
That is interesting, though, because it beckons to Deflategate, as I'm sure all you New Englanders recall. But the interesting thing about this is that Deflategate, it was all like,
a
screw
lie
the Pats.
Made
I
up
mean, it was an absolute.
Roger Goodell's mind.
All of that. But my point being that it was all pointed towards, like, screw the Patriots. Whereas this, both teams are saying
yeah.
So. Which it does create a very interesting storyline in terms of, you know, you'd like my initial reaction to this would be, well, whoever's not doing as well is going to try to blame this. But if they're both saying it, it stands to reason that there is something to be said for
apparently
it.
Apparently the grain in the leather is tighter on these balls.
Are they feeding the cows something different? I don't.
Maybe it's something that, when you think about the way that leather is made, differences in temperature, humidity, all of these things can play a factor in your final product.
Well, then it stands to reason. I mean, how many balls do they go through a day? If you think of things in terms of seasonally, it stands to reason that maybe it is literally just that the exact same cows or the exact same breed or family, whatever. I don't know how skinning cows works. I'm kind of proud to say. But it stands to reason that it could actually just be environmental.
I'm also wondering why the balls for America's pastime are made in Costa Rica. Isn't there an American company that can make baseballs?
Yeah.
In America?
Come on, Trump. That's the one thing you said you'd do.
You take money from Americans for your game. Make your baseballs here, Major League Baseball.
Well, in entertainment news, another actor has come forward to lay allegations of harassment on Kevin Spacey. Roberto Cavazos told social media to recount... took to social media to recount his own alleged experience with Spacey when he was younger. The incidents in question reportedly took place during Spacey's time as the artistic director at the Old Vic Theatre in London from 2003 to 2015. Cavazos explains that not only did he have an encounter with Spacey, but that enough of the young male actors that came through the theatre had stories to make it a running joke. The star also detailed the pattern that seemed to form with the way Spacey would approach and proposition actors at the theater. According to Cavazos, Spacey would ask people to meet him to talk about their career. And then when they arrived at the theater, he'd either have the stage beautifully lit with a picnic ready, or could be found at the bar of the theater, quote unquote, cornering anyone he found attractive. While Cavazos said he never let anything happen, he knows of many people that were too scared to stop him. Cavazos' comments come just days after Star Trek Discovery actor Anthony Rapp revealed that he experienced a sexual advance from the 58-year-old actor when he was 14 and Spacey was 26. Soon after, Spacey released a statement on social media explaining that he didn't remember the incident and subsequently came out as a gay man. Many were upset by his response, arguing that equating homosexuality and pedophilia is not an adequate response to the allegations. That sentence was a tongue twister. But that's what's making me angry, I must say. That's what's making me angry about this whole thing, is him being like, oh, you're calling me a pedophile, but wait, I'm gay.
Yeah, the whole coming out to try and hide what you did is not cool.
Yeah, it's like,
for so many reasons.
I know many, 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 many gay men who have never hit on a 14-year-old. Unless, of course, they themselves were also 14.
You know what that is? That's, look over here. Hey, look over here. I'm gay. I'm gay. Here's the story you want. I'm gay. Stop talking about the other thing. I'm gay. And the media bit all over it.
Oh, yeah.
Because there were a bunch of news out there. ABC. ABC included came out there.
That's not the most disgusting part. The pedophilia is the most disgusting part.
No, but you have these major media outlets. ABC. Kevin Spacey's gay. Reuters. Kevin Spacey's gay.
On a side note, Kevin Spacey's gay. A bunch of people are accusing him of pedophilia.
Now, I was in a movie with Anthony Rapp many years ago.
I recall this.
I had a friend of a friend who was a house manager for Rent and worked with Anthony Rapp. I can say personally, Anthony is a fantastic guy.
And not someone who would lie about this.
He's not somebody who's going to lie about it. He was somebody who, you know, the impression that I got from him on the set was that he was somebody who was sort of guarded about his personal life. Now, I don't know if he was still in his late teens when we did School Ties, mm-hmm. and I don't think he'd come out at that point. He wasn't open about it because it was the early 90s. AIDS thing was still happening. It wasn't something that was applauded and accepted the way that it is today.
Well, the thing too is it shouldn't, or more importantly, it doesn't matter either way whether Anthony is gay or not.
Right. But, well, no. I'm just saying, in terms of him and his personal life, he didn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of guys who were on that set who were just like, oh, yeah, we were out last night, ripping it off, having a great time. And Anthony was always sort of distant and removed from that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of who he is. I think there's a separation between the public life and the private life.
Oh, yeah.
And for him to come out,
as there should be,
for him to come out and tell this story is huge. Because you're talking about one of the biggest names in the theater world and in television and in movies. And those theater and movies tend to be the areas that Anthony inhabits. Mm-hmm. Television is a new thing for him with Star Trek. And I think the fact that you've got a regular job, at least for the time being, and the Harvey Weinstein thing helps to enable this. But this is what we need to see happen. And he's not the only one that's gone down this week. Mike Tolbeck.
The director.
He's got problems. They were coming out today against Rat Pack Entertainment. What's his name?
Oh, I know who you're talking about. The one with Emily Blunt.
Yeah. Natasha Henstridge said that he forced himself on her. Brett Ratner.
I would say Ratner. Yeah. Because Emily Blunt, same thing. Or was it Emily Blunt or she's super hot. I mean that with all respect. I'm straight.
I don't think you can call people super hot in the middle of a sexual assault story. It just rubs me the wrong way.
Well, I'm not going to like sexually assault her.
And then you've got Mike Halperin, the producer of The Circus,
Olivia Munn.
Yeah. Mike Halpern, the producer of The Circus.
She is super hot.
On
Olivia,
Showtime.
If you're listening, which you're probably not, but if you ever hear of this, I say you're really hot, like, objectively as a straight woman. I'm not by any means trying to sexually misconduct you.
Halpern's gone. NPR's news director had to step down today because apparently he gets a little handsy. It's good that all this is coming out.
It's great that all this is coming out, but it is definitely a... It's a symptom of two things, which is, number one, when it rains, it pours. So once the floodgates open, you know, it's just, they're open.
The dam has burst.
But the dam has burst. Thank you. That's a better analogy or saying or what have you. But also, it's sad to me as a woman in the... And this obviously isn't, you know, just a thing about women, as we've illustrated with the Kevin Spacey story. But as someone in the entertainment industry who has been sexually harassed or abused in some way, both entering this industry or beforehand.
And on the air.
But yeah, I can handle you.
Well, not just me. Other people have done it too. You know.
That's true. But with you, I know you're joking. That's the difference. He's joking, Mom. But it is, it's a bit disheartening that it took all these years of this happening and having one person be like, this happened to me, and then all of a sudden, all of these people say it. And on the one hand, I've had very mixed emotions about this subject because the thing with Harvey Weinstein, when they started talking about the casting couch and all that, I'm like, this isn't new. Like, think of every single actress you've ever seen in a major motion picture who you've been like, she's hot, but she's not talented. How is she in this role? That is how she is in this role, is the casting couch. Which, for those of you who don't know what the casting couch is by now, that's when you do a couple favors for the producer, director, whoever, and that's how you get the part.
I think you could call it lay for play.
Another lovely way to put it. But I think it is important to note that there are a lot of women, or people, I should say, at this point, who are genuinely talented, who said no despite having this presented to them.
And without defending Harvey Weinstein in any way, shape, or form, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when this story broke, there is that group of women that enable this kind of behavior.
Oh, yeah, that's it, yes.
Because two actresses are up for the role, and Harvey Weinstein looks at both of them and says, which one of you will have sex with me? And the one that says, I will have sex with you, is the one that gets the role.
Yes. Well, it's human can, like, and again.
Or they offer to have sex without him even asking. They walk in and they're like, all right.
I'll have sex with you.
I want that part. What do I got to do, Harvey?
Well, it's very, again, I myself am also not defending Harvey Weinstein or any of the various